prepares to cuddle up under the covers with another long winter night. I'm reminded of an evening many, many years ago in Chicago. My wife and I, we were young newlyweds at that time. She and I had gone out with a friend of hers and my cousin Robbie, who was a waitress at Mr. Kelly's in Chicago, a very renowned nightclub in its day. Of course, it wasn't a cold, blustery winter evening the way it is today, but we were coming home at about 4:30 in the morning, going up Lakeshore Drive. I'm looking at a photograph of Lakeshore Drive. It was taken, I don't know, last night, maybe very early this morning. I guess it was very early this morning. With hundreds of automobiles abandoned on Chicago's Lakeshore Drive. The interesting thing is that in the background, up at the upper portion of the picture, I can see the lake. I see the exit and the entrance to Lincoln Park. But where many of these cars are parked, it's on kind of an overpass. Well, there's no road there. It's just an overpass of a walkway that went under the highway. And it was at that very point back in probably 1973, maybe as late as 1974, that at 4:30 in the morning, after having spent a rather lively evening having many adult beverages, and there was little traffic on the road, I pulled the car over to the side of Lakeshore Drive, got out. Nobody knew what I was doing. I went down over the edge into the underpass, went underneath it, relieved myself of far too much liquid, and rather than come back up the same side, I went into the underpass and came up and ran across the highway. Isn't that exciting? Well, the fact of the matter is, it's going to be another long, cold winter night in the United States. Certainly not as heated up as things are over in the Middle East, Egypt. People have had enough. People have said, give us our country back. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Nothing I can do, or nothing I can say.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
I'd like to get you on a sailboat to China, all to myself alone.
Oh, baby, there's no reason for you to be alone, Renee Olmsted. I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China. Anyway, that's another story. Welcome and good evening to another installment of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Life is what many people are thankful for today after having spent, in some cases, nearly 12 hours trapped in their cars, or some people who got so damn scared they got out of their cars and began to walk, only to turn around and not even see 25 feet behind them where they'd come from. What is happening in Chicago is happening many places around the nation. People like my friend Paul up in Barre, Massachusetts, who heats his home with oil, as so many do up there, who can ill afford the cost of heating their home this winter, and yet have no choice. Borrow against their pensions to cash in various things just to be able to survive. Oh, this, my friends, is global warming at its finest. Somehow it doesn't seem very warming. My home, which is in Phoenix, Arizona, or the area, is usually in early February begin to warm up to temperatures in the upper 60s by this time. It's not happening. The winds are howling. The heaters are running almost constantly. We try to keep our heaters below 70. Figuring 68 is certainly warmer than it is outside. How many others around the nation listening to this program tonight, if you are even fortunate enough to have power, as many people in Texas do not have? My son moved into his new home today. It's a home they're renting. To find out that the gas company did not turn on the gas yesterday, as they were supposed to, due to some stupid technical issue. It's not even a technical issue. It's a misunderstanding of idiots. And so then we called them this morning, only to find out that on the 25th day of January, by some fool's order, the gas meter was removed from the property. It's going to be 22 degrees where they're staying tonight. I said, if necessary, I'll come pick you up and bring you out here. You can have my nice warm bed. And I'll move into the room with the frigid one. That's not even nice. Glad to have you here on this Groundhog Day 2011. And for those of you who get all wrapped up in Bill Murray, they're continuing to run that movie for 24 hours straight. Each day, his story begins again. As Harry Reid promised, the Democrats defeated the Senate health care repeal effort today. And yet, there were some things that came out of it. Oh, yeah. The Senate Democrats remained united on Wednesday in killing a Republican effort, that's today, to repeal the health care bill signed into law last March. As expected, no Democrat voted against a procedural motion that effectively defeated a GOP amendment. It was all sponsored by little Mitch McConnell, tacked onto an unrelated aviation bill. They wanted to repeal Obamacare. Of course, all the Republicans voted lockstep. The final vote, 47 to 51. But, so we're still faced with Obamacare until it reaches the Supreme Court. And yet, do you honestly believe that the Supreme Court is going to overturn? No. I don't buy it for a minute, because the Supremes in that court have become so political. They seem to vote more along party dictum and party lines than anything else. And yet a huge ray of sunshine came out of all of this today. The Senate did repeal a part of the health care law. And this is the part that so many of you, and yes, people in my business, have been concerned about. The Senate voted today for the very first time to repeal a piece of Obama's health care overhaul, rolling back a new tax reporting requirement that's been universally panned by business owners. The amendment to repeal the 1099 reporting requirement passed 81 to 17. Now, I want to know who the 17 dirtbags were that basically voted against small business, because that's what it was. This is the provision that Obama identified in his State of the Union 2 weeks ago as something that, maybe it was last week, I don't know, something that Democrats were willing to change. You see, that's the problem. Obama thinks in terms of Democrats and Republicans. He doesn't think in terms of we the people, the nation, other than how to screw us all. Now, the Senate voted numerous times last year to repeal this requirement, but all the attempts failed amid partisan bickering over how to pay for it. Republicans made an attempt to repeal the provision by taking money from the Health Care Reform Laws Prevention and Wellness Fund. Democrats, as always, try to repeal it without paying for it. Now, here's what it is. For those of you who have been buyers of gold and silver, it's been the most often asked question.
Well, does that mean that you're going to have to report when I buy it or sell it and all this good here stuff?
Well, the provision would have required business owners to file 1099 tax documents on all cumulative purchases from a single vendor that total more than $600 a year. Now, what that means is you purchasing a product from me for, let's say, a Chapman special at $1,500, $5,600, whatever the case may be, you would have had to file a 1099 on me. I'm the vendor. You're not a vendor. Of course, all that garbage was included in the health care law because it would have raised, according to these people, $17 billion in previously uncollected taxes. Bipartisan collection of business groups have opposed the provision, all arguing that it would bury them in paperwork. Now, this is the one that got me. And my friend Wes, if you happen to be out there listening to me, this amendment was actually promoted or proposed by Senator Debbie Stabenow in the back, the demagogue from Michigan, who said this amendment is a common sense solution for business owners who need to be focused on creating jobs, not filling out paperwork for the IRS. Democrats blocked a similar amendment from Senator Mike Johanns, a Republican from Nebraska, last year. He had offered the amendment this week, but Stabenow's amendment got the vote. The net effect is that, the way I look at Johanns told Politico, my desire is to get it repealed. It's a victory for the business community and churches and charities and state and local governments, so I'm not creating a fuss. I'd be happy to vote for the amendment, whether it has my name on it or hers. Repeal would be paid for by requiring the Office of Management and Budget to find the funding in unspent but appropriated funds. Senator Carl Levin, a demagogue from Michigan, offered another amendment to repeal the provision but paid for it by issuing new taxes on oil companies. He argued that lawmakers have to decide where money would be spent, not OMB. The Stabenow Amendment, he said, would be abandoning our role in appropriating spending. The key word here, of course, is appropriate. To get, to gather, to gain, to take from you and I. Levin said, we cannot pass that buck and we should not. Levin's amendment failed. Not bad for a non-Southern Baptist to have his amendment fail. So that is the good news that's come out this day. It warms the cockles of my heart. Needless to say, something has got to get warm. I'm sitting here in a house. I feel no drafts around me, no nothing. But I'm cold. I'm tired. I went out last night. Took care of business. Told the wife I was going to the club because my good friend Richard, who happens to be a drummer, a musician, played on Broadway for 20 years in some of the biggest shows at the time. Personal friends of Paul Schaefer. And knew many, many, many big show business names, people who played on Broadway at the time. Alan Jones. Now, Alan Jones had a son named Jack. Jack, at the age of 60-something or whatever it is still out there performing. Alan Jones did movies in the 1930s with the Marx Brothers. We'll be back.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Mark Whitfield, Harlem Nocturne. Now, there's times I look at headlines and I just guess I don't get it. Winter storms expected to slow the economy. Well, they're going to stop people from going out buying frivolous stuff. I guess maybe it'll stop people from going out buying big screen TVs for the big game on Sunday, baby. We'll find out if Roethlisberger or Rodgers is going to come out the victor in this deal. And the only reason I'm familiar with Roethlisberger is because my good friend Bill O'Brien hates his guts and has no use for the Steelers. The only reason I'm familiar with who Rodgers is because he plays in the position that Brett Favre used to play in at the Green Bay Packers. But given the fact that I'm from that general region, Packers were and always will be my football team, but I don't follow it. I don't have time for it. Market conditions today, relatively flat across the board. Dow Jones Industrials were up less than 2 points. Close at 12,041. NASDAQ down less than 1.75. They ended their day just shy of 2750. S&P 500 was off a little over 3.5 points, closing at 1304.03. Currently in the metals market, we're still sitting in a reasonably flat market, to be real honest with you. It goes up, it goes down. I mean, you go look at the numbers right now and say, oh my God, it's down. Well, no, it's just about where it was a week ago. Gold is currently at a little over $1,333 an ounce. Silver at $2,834. Platinum at $1,824. Each of them off in the aftermarkets, but they've been holding their own fairly well. Not doing major swings up, not doing major swings down. They're holding what? Everything they can. And there's nothing wrong with that. So anyway, that's the basis on the healthcare situation. Sugar hit a 30-year high today. You better start learning how to drink that black coffee. We need some Peggy Lee and black coffee. Actually, I just had 2 cups of coffee before going on the air. Bought myself a coffee press here recently. Now, I love a good cup of coffee, but I'm sick of these Mr. Coffee percolators, or whatever you call them, drip systems. They suck. They don't give you any flavor. They don't give any strength. You got to use a lot of coffee to get something hefty out of that stuff. I went and bought me a coffee press. Drop that stuff in, pour in some boiling water, shook that thing up and down, a little spring filter a couple of times. You will pour one of the best darn cups of coffee you ever had. And you know what? Unless you're dumb and break that glass, you're not going to be out buying a whole bunch of filters. You're not going to have to be running CLR through that thing once a month just to clean the crud out of it. Well, that's enough for all of that. I've got a story to share with you tonight. Now, I've not put a phone call into the gentleman to verify his story, but considering that he wrote it and submitted it directly to me, this did not come third party, I find this story oh so interesting. Remember the conversation we had a little while, the comments I made a little while ago about the Supreme Court? And how everything they do is they kind of go along with all the typical partisan garbage. The left votes left, the right votes right, and nobody really cares because they're not doing anything that's all that darn good anyway. Well, there's a guy down in the Houston area named Billy Phillips. He's a retired longshoreman. And after many years of study and research, he has found out just how corrupt the entire judicial system really is. Now, he continues to update his story, and this was done just a couple of weeks ago. Now, Bill Phillips tells us that one of his judges in Houston, Texas, State District Judge Bill Elliott, is a man who falsified his own death. Probate 773, Sonora, Texas, dated 4-18 of 82. He used the name William Marion Elliott. Okay, probate. Dated this thing April of 1982. But he retired in 1995 and is a visiting judge. Well, this is amongst the wildest stories you will ever hear. But listen carefully. Now, this same judge had a water bypass around his water meter, which made him a thief. That, according to the Pasadena Police Report, number 910-57241, dated October 22, 1981. Now, our author acquired the police report and pictures by the way of the Open Records Act in Texas. He said, I put one of the pictures in front of the Harris County Family Law Center so everyone could see what kind of a cheap thief the judge was. Remember, this is the same dead judge that supposedly died in 1982. Just get ready to be. Now, you stick around because I'm running down the hall to the library, and we come back. I'm going to tell you more of this story. It is something else, baby.
Life can be so divine. Right up the sun is.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendovite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendovite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendovite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I think that The musical part of that piece of music is apropos to our story. Talking about the falsified death of Texas State District Judge Bill Elliott. Now, J.W. Elliott, Bill's brother, he falsified his own death. Now, I've got all the data and the pages and the volumes and et cetera. I got all the information here, but to save time, I'm not going to read all that part of it off. We're going to tell the story. Now, when J.W. falsified his death, he left $7.06 inheritance tax. Now, he witnessed Bill's probate in 1982, 9 years after his own so-called death in 1973. Well, wait a minute. J.W. Elliott falsified his own death, and it's on the records in Limestone County, Texas, dated August 13th of 1973. But in 1982, he witnessed his other so-called dead brother's probate. Now, the way that our author found out about all this was he traced some of the property in probate number 773. That's Bill Elliott's probate. That's where Bill falsified his own death back to Henderson, Texas. Now, Bill's files were gone, but the folders were still there. But all of J.W.'s files were still intact. And our author got certified copies of the so-called death. Oh, by the way, J.W. is also a judge. Now, Bill Elliott Jr. supposedly died in an airplane crash in 1980. If he died in 1980... how could he have filed bankruptcy in 1991 in San Angelo, Texas? How could he have signed a promissory note in Houston, Texas on June 30th, 1982? You see, he was registered to vote in Harris County using an address that is a vacant lot with no house on no street, no nothing. Oh, by the way, his mother and father are registered to vote at the same address. Oh, and he was also registered to vote in Austin, San Angelo, Sonora, and Nacogdoches, Texas. Now, he was taken off the voter's registration roll in Sonora the day before our author got there to look at the records. He's registered to vote as a Republican in West Texas and a Democrat in East Texas, but he isn't dead. Neither is his father or his uncle. And then our boy Bill Phillips, goes by Billy Phillips, found out with the so-called crash. Remember we said he died in an airplane crash in 1980? Billy found out where the crashed airplane was at. I love this one. On Palestine Street in South Houston. The wings and the jet motors were stored on the same property. And our author, Billy, told several of the judge's friends that I knew where it was at. And after that, the plane was dismantled and moved. Later on, the building next door to where the plane was stored at caught on fire, burned down. Well, by the way, the honorable judge, or should we say the honorable deceased judge, Bill Elliott, owns that property. The South Houston Fire Department said it was torched. Now, Judge Bill Elliott used the name Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N, like John Wayne's middle name, or his original first name, Marion Michael Morrison. Judge Elliott used the name Marion as his middle name when he falsified his death. Bill Elliott Jr. used the middle name Marion when filing his bankruptcy and promissory note in June of 1882 for $1,278,525, but he's now using the middle name Miller. And yet both the father and son's middle names are actually Marshall. Well, by the way, J.W., he did live in Sonora, but now lives in Austin. Now, there's a lot of y'all folks listening there that live in Austin or Round Rock in the area. Oh, you could just have some fun digging up some dirt on the old boy. Now, the ex-district attorney in Harris County, Johnny B. Holmes, who was in office at the time Judge Bill Elliott's water meter bypass was dug up, told our author Billy in a taped conversation that he's not gonna F with someone as big as Bill Elliott, and there wasn't a damn thing I could do about it, meaning our author Billy. Well, Billy paid for the filing of a petition to take Johnny Holmes out of office because he wouldn't do his job. Oh, I got the case number here and everything. The case was put into the state district judge Russell Lloyd's court, district court number 334. He dismissed it for want of prosecution. Well, we wanted him to be prosecuted. 2 days after the dismissal, I was told that Johnny Holmes transferred $87,000 in drug seizure money to Judge Russell Lloyd's court. 2 to 3 days later, a sign was put up in front of the Family Law Center by protesters who had been there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for over 2 years. The sign read, John Baby Doc Holmes Jr., stealing money. American Bank special account, and they got the account number. Oh, by the way, Russell Lloyd is no longer judge. Now, Bill Henderson became the judge of the 311th District Court. Our boy Billy filed a petition for bill of review to point out the fraud in his case. And then he said, then I paid for the fee for a jury trial. Henderson turned down my petition. I appealed his decision to the First Court of Appeals. The lawyer I hired, Betty Hominga, did not even show up, and I had to argue my own case, which resulted in my case being turned down, because if you represent yourself in a court in Houston, you ain't got a chance, boy. Well, Billy says, I appealed my case to the Supreme Court of Texas, and I was turned down. One of the judges of the First Court of Appeals, Judge Margaret Mirabelle, read my synopsis at a Democratic function in Pasadena, Texas, and they said, well, they can't do this and they can't do that. And then I told her that she was one of my judges. She didn't say another word, just turned around and walked away. Bill Henderson was indicted and convicted by a jury for bankruptcy fraud. Trial lasted a week and a half. And after he was found guilty and the jury was dismissed, Billy said, I left the courtroom. I found out later that Henderson then pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor, which was contempt of court. And then he was put back on the bench to serve out the rest of his term. He was indicted and convicted by a jury for bankruptcy fraud, found guilty, goes in and pleads to a misdemeanor, a contempt of court, and put back on the bench to serve out the rest of his term. Who ever heard of a person who is a convicted felon being allowed to continue being a state district judge? Well, he didn't run for re-election in Texas, but he's still a lawyer down there. Now, Doug Warren was elected judge for the 311th Court. Our author, Billy, wrote a letter to the court, which he mailed certified on January the 12th of 09. He's got his receipt number and everything. Informing the court that he had paid for a 12-person jury and asking why my constitutional rights had been denied by not allowing me to have a trial with a jury of my peers. No response from the court. So Billy said he went to the court with his tape recorder and a witness, a man named Al Johnson, who Billy believes to be a federal agent. Says, I gave a copy of the letter to Doug Warren, who looked at it and handed it back to him. Interesting stuff, huh? The guy referred him to the clerk. Clerk told me this case was closed. He said, how can it be closed when I've asked for and paid for a jury trial and have not had a jury trial yet? A few words were said, and the bailiff said to me, let's go. When I was leaving the courtroom just before he got to the bar, I was pushed in my back by the bailiff. At this time, I did not know that this was assault. The internal affairs swept it under the rug. I cannot get a jury trial. I cannot even get my money back that I paid for in a jury. That I paid in for a jury. So now September 15th, 2000, he says, I finally found a lawyer, one Ed Truncelito, to represent me. Ed filed suit for me in federal court on October 30th, 2000, and asked for a jury trial. Billy Claude Phillips, plaintiff versus Beverly Crow Phillips Parish. That's her new last name. Board of Disciplinary Appeals appointed the Supreme Court of Texas ordered a judgment of indefinite disability suspension against Truncelito on November 16th, 2000. Disability meaning that he is mentally incompetent to practice law. And so our boy Billy calls Mr. Truncelito Ed the Fed. He's no dummy, no ordinary lawyer, very intelligent. If he's mentally incompetent, then 99.9% of the lawyers in the state of Texas ought to be disabled. Because after Ed was disabled, he went back to D.C. And the judges I've had so far need to be put in prison. Federal Judge Sim Lake ordered Billy's case dismissed with prejudice on February 22nd, 2001, which means that he could not file suit on the subject again. Billy says, I've never had a trial by jury or a hearing. In fact, I've never even seen Judge Sim Lake. He appealed Judge Lake's order to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans on March 22nd of 2001. Now, I realize that this Billy's story kind of jumps around, but they do tie together here a little bit. Now, try this one. Remember the name of the case. Remember the name of the case that he was involved with. It was called, where is it? Billy Claude Phillips, plaintiff, versus Beverly Crow Phillips Parish. Okay? That's his ex-wife. December 27, 2001, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, Nolens, ruled against him, ordered him to pay $2,437.50 for his ex-wife's attorney's fees without even addressing the issues that were presented in his brief. The three honorable circuit judges, Davis, Benavides, and Stewart, did not even sign the order. Billy says, I've never had an en banc hearing. I also requested the three circuit judges sign off on the previous order of December 27, 2001. One of the three did. He said, I've never seen these honorable judges, much less to have a hearing. Is this what the courts in this country call due process of law? And that's the prime reason I'm bringing all this to you. Manny, just hang on. If he's still with us, give me a couple moments here. Billy says, on January 7th of 2002, I filed a petition for panel rehearing, requesting that I be allowed an en banc hearing so that they would have to address the issues that were presented in my brief. No response. His synopsis? A little bit of a explanation as to how he was defrauded out of his retirement pension. He says, every single month that my ex-wife draws on my retirement pension, the fraud continues. He said, I was 77 years of age as of March 13th, 2010. I was working until April 13th of 01 when my back went out on me. I'm not physically able to work any longer as a longshoreman. My doctor has told me that my back injury is inoperable, and he sent me to another doctor for a second opinion. The doctor who did the second opinion said he could take some bone off my hip to use the sacroiliac joint to my lower back, said there might be a 50-50 chance of success. Billy says, I didn't like the odds. He was forced to have to take his retirement as of June 1st, 2002. Without being able to work, I'm not financially able to carry my case onto the U.S. Supreme Court. I worked 39 years on the waterfront, he said. ILA Local Number 24, 7811 Harrisburg Boulevard, Houston, Texas. I've spent well over $225,000 in 2 days in jail trying to expose the fraud that was perpetrated upon myself, my pension fund, and the whole judicial system in this country. He said, this is not about a divorce. It's about murder and fraud and judicial corruption, falsifying legal documents, pension fund fraud. He says, I have a huge amount of paperwork to prove what I'm saying. Photographs, certified copies of court records, government documents, etc. He said, I've got certified copies of those documents before and after my court records were illegally changed. Since May 1st of 1990, my ex-wife has been drawing 26 years of my retirement. Said I was only married to her for 17 years, not 26. I was only married to her 12 years and 11 months while working as a longshoreman, which is where my retirement is fun. The divorce was final September of 76. I did not even have vested rights to a pension at the time of our divorce. If I'd left the waterfront in 1976, he said, I would not even have a retirement from the ILA. May 8th, 1989, my ex-wife comes back, sues me for partition of my retirement. Quote, in the interest of a minor child, end quote. He says, my only child was 29 years of age on 8-4 of 89 and already out of college. The minor child issue was the only way any court had jurisdiction. The suit was filed under the old divorce case, the numbers here. Then the records were illegally changed to a different case number. My ex-wife asked for part of my retirement in 1976, and I said no. I left the marriage with $200 in my pocket, my work car and clothes. I left her very well off. In fact, I paid the child support off in full before my son became 18 years of age, but she did not run the check through the bank until 2 years later, just before she went bankrupt. My ex-wife and her second husband, Billy Parrish, had already been married for 5 years when she filed suit for 50% of my retirement. She divorced her second husband February 27th of 97 using the same lawyer, same court, asked for and received 50% of her second husband's retirement in their divorce. This woman's been living really, really well. But what's most important to me, what I find, I guess, not that surprising, not that shocking, is the criminality within the courts, the true good old boys society, the wink, wink, knock, knock, hey, 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 I falsified my death 20 years ago, but I'm still serving as a judge. I understand we have a caller on the line, a very good friend of mine from New Orleans. Richie, are you with us?
Jeffrey, the best politician's money can buy.
Thank you, my friend. It's so good to hear from you.
Yeah, just I heard somebody was drinking some coffee earlier, huh?
Oh, yes. I'm always drinking coffee, my friend.
So I was just reminding me, let me see what kind of package I can put together for you.
Hey, always love that.
Yeah, the coffee
if you'll
and chicory.
Allow me, just allow me, for the sake of our audience, and Richie, I don't know how long you've been listening or whatever with the new format of the program, but for our audience who may have just joined us, the name of this program is Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, featuring a lot of jazz music, including the music of my caller, Richie Connick. Glad to have
you. But you've been doing some good music recently, Jeff. Really cool stuff.
Great.
Hey, listen, I was just thinking, the coffee, it made me think of something. We know with the commodities going around these days, the talk of gold and silver and assets that are tangible. I think I'm going to invest in coffee, Hershey chocolate bars, and silk stockings.
So you're like I am. You and I have had this conversation before. This is an old World War II mentality. I made that comment to somebody about silk stockings recently, and they took it as a sexist comment.
I guess they don't know
their history, Rich.
They haven't seen enough World War II movies with John Wayne, you know? But it's true. You know, you think about it, Jeffrey. With the dollar completely dissolving, really, what is value? It's things that are tangible, things you can eat, things you can use, real, tangible things, not fiat, fake, what would you call it, rip-offs.
Exactly.
And,
here's a key factor. Sugar hit an all-time high today.
I don't care, people.
Sugar is something that you get it in those stinking packaged breakfast cereals. You get it in such a wide variety of foods. People are drinking it with their coffee, using it on their cereal, whatever the case may be. They're just driving the cost of everything up. My daughter, who, and I've said this on the air quite often lately, is one of the most amazing shoppers in a grocery store I know. And about 3 weeks ago, she called and said, Dad, the coupons don't do it anymore. Instead of getting, the triple coupons and the double coupons, the only way the coupon's any good is if you buy three of an item now. And so they're just backstabbing everybody. People are going to have a tough, tough time, Richie.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that is at least you can do some sort of stocking your cupboard, if you got to buy three at a time.
Well, and that's it. But a lot of people can't afford to stretch their budget and get the three at a time. They're trying to get by just week to week to buy enough food for that.
Yeah, and then you couple into it, Jeffrey, this story you've told us of just the blatant corruption, and, man, you want to cry for our people, what the future holds.
It's, this is one of those things that, and you know me well enough over the years, that there's times I can throw a program together in 5 minutes. There's times I'll spend hours trying to determine what I want to go. This email came into me earlier today from the author, Billy Phillips. I found this story so amazing that I had to share it. Now, to some of our listeners, it may be boring. I don't find it boring. I find it fascinating. I think it's a marvelous insight into the criminality of the so-called justice system. It's not justice, it's just us, meaning them. They're lording it all over us. And if this is happening in district and local courts, you think it's not going on all the way up to the Supreme Court and with everything in between? That's why we're having such a tough time in this country. Can we ever win? Can we ever come out on top here? I think there's only one way. You know what the answer is, and so do I.
Jeffrey, thank you for being there, man. I'm gonna let you wrap up the show, and we're down here listening. Let me get a little coffee and chicory package together for you.
Hey,
huh?
Thanks. Shoot me out an email. Let's make sure you've got the right address, okay?
You got it, my man.
All right, take care of yourself.
All right. Good.
It's my good friend Richie Connick. Richie years ago sent me a couple of his CDs. And when I began to select the music to put together for this program, I would not have omitted Richie. And he's just he's an extremely talented musician. He's just a tremendously gifted guy. He's been with me through a series of different broadcasts for probably, I'm going to rough guess it and say, probably 7-8 years at this point in time. Used to be a very diligent participant in my chat rooms when I had them, which is nothing but an online discussion board or discussion group while the program was on the air. So it's a real pleasure to hear from him. It's been a while since he and I've spoken. But when his music comes up, I'll apprise you what it is, and I'm getting ready to put a new musical group list together, and we'll include another piece of Richie's fine music. And it's the kind of stuff I enjoy, just laid back, good stuff. Well, I want to share with you a closing comment from Billy talking about this whole pension thing. And this is extremely important because I want you to look at your own pension if you're fortunate enough to have one. He says the investment consultants reports from the Maritime Association, the ILA Pension Retirement Welfare and Vacation Fund, showed that in 1998, their pension drew 3.43% return on their money. But he said, when our pension fund trustees changed our retirement funds over to Cigna, Cigna's paperwork showed that in 1998, their investments would have earned the pensioners over 36% on their investments. Simple math, $163 million difference. He says something's wrong here, something's badly wrong. What has happened to all the big money and the pensions and the insurances and the container royalty funds? Billions of dollars. Now, once again, we've shared a wide range of commentaries. Rambling thoughts to some degree? Yes, there's no doubt about it. But it all comes back to show the criminality, the crookedness in this nation, and how you and I just flat don't count. That's we the people. We the people who built this nation. We the people and our fathers and our grandfathers and our forefathers who made this nation what it once was. Now we got them destroying it. Thanks for sharing your valuable time with me this evening. The good Lord sees fit to bring us together again. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Got the lips that suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has, and I got you.
The next round of the worst.